Alright.
You wanna start?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get started. I think we gotta.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for changing your clocks and knowing when to be here and getting up with the rest of us. You are here for increased revenue by mobile enabling your services. With me, I'm Stacy Zuniga. I'm with Unwired Nation. Today we have three panelists. I'll be moderating. We have Eric Smith, who's also with Unwired Nation. We have Jeff Chambers, who is with Zubin. And we have Sean Bose, who is with U-Ship. Today's conversation is centered around really how can you take your service, your site, mobile to your users and not have it cost an arm and a leg and actually try to make revenue with it. We know that there's a lot of choices out there. People want to look at SMS. They want to use voice. There's different things you can do that could be a little complicated. Dealing with carriers for everything can be very complex. Last year we were here, Eric and I were, and we socialized a concept because we take people mobile. Socialized a concept of a platform to try to get you out there, maybe even for free, or create revenue opportunities for you. Just to give you a little background, Unwired Nation is, we power eBay phone alerts. So if you go to eBay.com, go to any auction, click on mobile alerts, the voice portion of that is us. That concept we came up with and did 2 years ago. And now we've taken that and generalized it into a platform to allow companies like Zubin, like U-Ship, to go mobile and actually make some revenue. I'd like to let Eric talk a little bit about what that idea was, where it is now, and some of the other options that you have when it comes to going mobile and trying to create revenue without actually breaking the bank when you're a startup, because that's one of the biggest issues.
Sure, I'll do that, but first I'd like to allow the panel to introduce themselves, and then we can get back to that question. But I'm Eric Smith. I'm the founder and president of Unwired Nation, and I'll be talking a bunch about different mobile options that you have, including our platform, in a few minutes.
My name is Jeff Chambers. I'm the founder of Zubin, a residential real estate search engine here in Austin, and I'll be talking more about how we took the platform and solved some of our pain points for the customers.
I'm Sean Bose. I'm the director of product strategy for U-Ship. Founded here in Austin, Texas, and I'm going to be talking about not only how we're using the Unwired Nation platform with our own transaction model, but how we've been able to use it to gain customers through new acquisition channels.
Again, we know that there's a lot of decision paths you have to go through when you want to go mobile. There's a lot of cost, a lot of development has to go into it, and so that's what this discussion is really about.
Okay, so before I start pimping my stuff, because that's let's talk about choices that you have when you go mobile, if you're looking at taking your website mobile. So who here is currently doing like email alerts to their users in general? Everybody? Yeah, it makes sense. It's cheap and free. And one of the reasons you probably do it is because it is cheap, it is free, and everybody has email, right? So that's lowest common denominator. Who here is doing SMS alerts to their users? You folks already? SMS is a big thing that people are doing. There's different ways of doing that in terms of third-party integrations with SMS providers. Anybody doing it directly, or are you going through like Inbox and stuff like that? Correct? Okay. So SMS is an interesting thing. Obviously, you have the ability to do shared short codes. You can do dedicated short codes for inbound capabilities for your applications. There are rumors out there if you get your volume really high, you can actually get it for free and maybe even get a rev split back from the carriers, but you have to get really high volumes to make that happen. There's a lot of, anybody who's done SMS, you probably share with myself and the rest of the audience also some of the complexities for them in terms of getting your application approved across all carriers, and it can be a real pain. So, SMS is another popular way to go. One of the issues with SMS that y'all might not know is that when we're talking about the North American market, there was a study that came out last year that was showing that SMS use rates across the entire user base of mobile users was sub 40%. So less than 40% of people had ever used SMS if, I mean, much less habitually use it. And I know a lot of us, obviously, we use it all the time. And the younger generation that's out there, the millennials or whatever they call it, they use it all the time. But when you're talking about your website and extending that out there, it makes sense to think about how to engage with the entire marketplace of people who use your website. So these are people that don't all have iPhones, and they're not all, you know, spending $500 a month on text bills or having to text people. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. Let's see. So I mentioned the SMS statistics. What else? Oh, yeah, mobile data. So who here has, like, a WAP optimized site or either an application that, you know, like, a widget app that interfaces with somebody? Anybody planning on doing something like that? So if you're planning on it, you probably have looked at the research, but it's really depressing in the United States. I've been doing mobile stuff since before 2000, I guess. And every time I'd do a startup, I'd go out there and pitch for funding to VCs, and they'd go, why are you doing that? You know, or everybody's going to have 3G, and everybody's going to have dedicated T1 bandwidth to their phone or to their car or to their, you know, it's going to be universal, ubiquitous. And as we all know, it's not. And even those of us who do have those kind of devices, like I have a mobile hotspot in my backpack over there, I'm a total dork. And, you know, but most people don't do that, right? And so if you look at the statistics across the user base, SMS, like I said, is less than 40% use and reuse. But mobile data is even worse, at least in the United States. So the stat I saw last year was engagement with mobile data services was less than 5% of the marketplace. And that's growing, but the story's been that it's growing and it's going to be ubiquitous for the last 8 years, and it's still not there.
What are some need to have things that are mobile? I mean, what services, what use cases are there out there that are basically need to have versus nice to have when it comes to alerts or just content services? I mean, what kind of services are you talking about when you're talking about mobile alerts, text messaging reports?
Well, a lot of the customers that we've been talking to have been saying that the main thing that they need to solve is they need to get people re-engaged with their website, re-engaged with their marketplace. A lot of companies either make money when there's a transaction that occurs or when there's an impression that occurs on their website, so if they indirectly monetize their service through advertising. And a lot of people engage with those websites on their lunch hour or in the evening or whenever they're at a broadband-connected PC, but people still haven't universally made the jump over to interacting with those websites mobile. And, you know, sites like Facebook and MySpace and some companies like that have made significant strides in trying to bring that out there, and they have a younger demographic audience that engages with them. But really, it's about how can I build features which are convenient and interesting for my users to engage with them wherever they happen to be, either on a push or a pull basis. So,
I'd like to go ahead and jump in with the other panelists with regard to their companies and their need for mobile, because I think some of this is really about it's a need to have in some instances where there's time between, there's communication gaps, there's friction, there's transactions that need to happen that have a certain time window to actually happen. People aren't engaged enough. Mobile is a necessity. And Jeff, would you like to talk a little bit about Zuvin and what's needed in your case?
Yeah, sure.
For
like I said, we have a real estate search engine here in town, and one of the things that's interesting about our business is that obviously as people are searching for real estate, the time that we can actually take a consumer from our website that they found a house that they're interested in looking at and get them in front of somebody that can actually help them see that house, which is ultimately what they're looking to do, the conversion rate for us goes up substantially. So as we looked across different opportunities to increase the speed of deliverability from our leads to the real estate professionals that we work with, we obviously use email. And again, you have to kind of understand the real estate generation. We're dealing with not your 19, 20-year-old text message, you know, always connected type people. So email was free and fast, and it was what enabled us to reach the most number of people. But the reality is these people aren't always at their desks. A lot of them don't actually have iPhones. Very few of them have BlackBerries. And so we needed a technology that allowed us to communicate with them in a way that was ubiquitous to all of them. And, you know, what is that? Well, all real estate agents carry cell phones. They all understand how to answer it. When the phone rings, you answer it. When it buzzes, it's a text message or an email. You don't always notice that. But when your phone rings, you notice. So when we were able to sit down with Stacy and Eric and talk a little bit more about what their platform offered, it just seemed like a perfect fit for us to get on board and to be able to really increase the time that we were able to get our leads in front of the real estate professionals and basically shorten up the time that it would take for us to get back to our customers so that we could close those sales faster.
So what does that look like? Like, what do people do on Zoom and the results in that aspect?
Sure. So when people are looking for homes, they stay, if you click on one of those two bubbles and go to the details page. When you find a home they're interested in looking at, we have a button that you can fill out a form that says you want to request a viewing. And when you do that, we actually send off the alert to ping the real estate professional. They get all that information and then can get back to that customer. So it's a very simple implementation. Sean has a much more complicated version, I think, of what they're doing. We are a really, really simple application.
How many people you guys have? Yeah, how big is it?
Oh, there's two of us. So, and we did all of this in our spare time. So I know one of the things that is interesting is that the implementation for this was extremely simple. The developer that did most of the work, his name is Brian, he's not here, but he will tell you that it took him 3 beers to get it done. So,
what's the impact? I mean, tell me seriously, as far as statistically, the impact of closing that gap in information. You know, in a typical situation where you send an email, you know, how long does that lead live? I mean, the value that goes down?
Well, obviously, the faster we can get to them, the higher our close rate is. And we were finding with email that it was anywhere between 2 to 6 to 8 hours for the professionals to get back to our customers. And now with the phone stuff, it's minutes. And our close rate's about 800 times what it was when we were just doing email.
Right.
Yeah,
sorry. I was like, that's sweet. Everybody
80,000 times.
Yeah.
So.
Great. Sean, can you talk a little about UShip, what the pain was you have with your marketplace?
Sure.
And how going mobile solves that?
Well, I think Jeff sort of hit on it. Beyond sort of the initial customer contact, UShip is a marketplace model in which we actually try to facilitate a full transaction. So I should just back up and sort of give you an idea of what we do. We're basically a marketplace for shipping and moving large items. So the quick elevator pitch is it's kind of like an eBay. You have to move a car from Austin to New York. You go and you list that car. Times when you want it moved, and then feedback-rated moving professionals that come and bid on your shipment, sort of in the reverse auction platform. Much like eBay, that means we don't share contact information of the potential customer or potential moving company until a match is made or a bid is accepted. What this means, of course, is that all communication has to happen through us. That same story as you heard before, email, cheap, easy, great way to do it. Unfortunately, same sort of deal. Obviously, you can imagine a lot of our moving companies are independent owner-operators. They're on the road. They're not at their computer. The casual customer who's using UShip isn't probably tied to their desk and looking at their computer 24 hours a day. So when they receive good bids, etc., they don't really know about them until the next time they come in and they check their Hotmail or their Yahoo. One of the major metrics we look at, of course, is time to match, and that's sort of the average number of days a listing lives in our marketplace. That's something that we're always trying to reduce because that makes the marketplace more efficient, more liquid, etc. So as you can imagine, what happens oftentimes is that someone gets a great bid. They maybe get it Friday after they've left the office. They don't look at it again until Monday morning. In that same time period, that service provider has moved on to another shipment listing or has left their area and no longer is able to service them. So, again, we looked at this problem, sort of what we call the weekend problem, but it's a problem all the time. And we said, well, how can we solve it? So we looked at mobile email addresses, text, and we've done those things. And we have noticed when we run our analysis that those customers that have text messaging enabled they are successful, much more successful, up to 30 or 40% than oftentimes people who don't have it. So we say, well, that's a huge win. How can we get that even further? Referencing some of Eric's mobile stats and just knowing our audience is also not, you know, texting LOL and TTYL and all that stuff to each other. How are they able to actually be reached? A lot of our customers, they may not even want a mobile phone number. They may be sitting, it may be a shipping broker or someone who's sitting in their office and they just have a phone number that they want to be reached on. So these voice alerts became really intriguing to us. And the implementation we have now in our first phase is basically just doing alerts. You know, you've received a bid. You know, we're able to push out to the customer the bid amount on what shipment it was for them to come back to UShip, log in, and accept it. Question and answer is a big issue for us. As you can imagine, someone places a bid, but you want to clear something up. You ask them a question. Service provider's on the road. They don't know about it. Now they get a phone call. Maybe if it's worth it to them, they can pull over or they can log into their some mobile Wi-Fi spot and they can answer that question. And then, of course, when they have a bid accepted, which is hugely important for them while they're on the road, if they have a bid accepted in their area, they can pull over and make arrangements to do that job. So you can imagine there's a lot of friction that we can remove in the transactional model that we have just by increasing communication options. Obviously, we think the voice is the most interesting of these, not only for its reach, but also for the information you can provide. Looking at some text messaging options, et cetera, you're limited by character counts. You're limited by a number of issues. With voice, we can really make it what we want it to be, which is really exciting for us and for our customers, I think. There's another application. I don't know if you want to get into
customer applications. Sure. Go.
Yeah, so the other great thing for us is that we have a model that fits in very well with eBay, mostly because moving large things across the country is a friction point for their transactions. Because Unwired Nation powers their phone alerts, we're able to actually have another reach into customer acquisition in this channel by serving ads on the voice alerts that they power through eBay. So if you're looking or bidding on something large on eBay, they have it mapped so they can say, hey, if you would like to receive, you know, good and cheap shipping options on this item, press 1 for an email. And what happens is then we're able to email market to them. And we've seen incredibly good conversion rates from those emails back to our website. And now we're starting to really track the behavior of those types of leads. So as you can imagine for us, it's really kind of a cool implementation in a number of areas. Not only helping smooth transactions in our own marketplace, but getting more people to use it.
Yeah, and you, that segues really well into my next question, which is around cost and around you brought up advertising, around the revenue generation potential of doing things via mobile. And there's two sets of cost here. There's the cost of actual services. How do you go mobile and do these things without spending a lot of money? There's also, we talked a little bit about it's easy. But really, when you've got a site and you're already managing text messages services for your users and email services, I mean, how does this work side by side with that? How do those work together? I mean, is it a distraction? Is it too much effort to manage it for a customer or for a site who wants to go mobile?
Yeah. Well, can we start by talking about what it is?
Sure.
So, I mean, basically what we've done is we built a services platform, a web services platform that allows companies to tie in via XML over HTTP and access an aggregated batch of services so they can place phone calls to their users, and these phone calls are outbound, they're interactive capable, and they can be of arbitrary length. They can also send SMSs through this integration if they opt in to do that. They can also leverage our platform to do email services to their users as well through a single integration. They have the option to have listener services they turn on. So if a user, for example, gets a phone call that says you have a bid on the shipment, it's for $600, press 1 to accept this bid so the service provider can pick this up tomorrow or whatever, and they hit 1 on the phone, there's a DTMF bid. That actually is passed back to the company that does the integration in real time. So they can take that event and then actually change state on the website. A good example of very complicated, well, not complicated, but impactful integration that's been done is with eBay.com. So with our platform, we get a notification event from eBay that there is an auction that's ending. So 3 minutes before that auction, we call all of the users that have subscribed to the service that are watching that auction. They answer the phone. They input their PIN number, which we validate against eBay with a password, so they're authenticated to talk, and that's a real-time event. And then we tell them how much time's left in the auction, whether they'll have it or not, and what the current price is. And at any point in time, they can enter a bid via DTM app. So they, you know, enter $900, hit pound, and then submit some proxy bid to eBay in real time. So one of the cool things is that, you know, they're out there, you know, in the car, whatever, stuck in traffic, and they're competing against people, you know, with broadband connected PCs or whatever on eBay.com. And funny thing is, they win more often. They actually win about twice as often as people that are, you know, trying to bid at the last minute on eBay.com. So, one of the key features of the platform we built is this real time interactivity. So that's important too.
So we're going to get to the way it exists, coexists with other platforms that they're already using, SMS platforms, email platforms. Touch upon that.
Sure.
Sean brought up the advertising.
Yeah.
And I want to understand more about how you monetize this. Advertising is one way. How is the platform used? How do customers use it? How do they pay for it?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's a lot of customers that that we have that are enterprise class customers that don't want to have third party advertisements on their calls because they feel their users would be sensitive to that. And these are oftentimes the same companies that are already paying 5 cents or 7 cents or whatever to send an SMS message to someone. So a lot of times for those customers, for the larger internet enterprise customers, it makes sense to just tie into our platform and pay us by the call. And that's great. We support that model. We also have a technology platform which we built, which we call IMMI. What is it? Interactive
Marketing Messages.
Yeah. So we have the ability to provide a tool set to that customer if they want to go out and source their own advertisement to inject into their calls. So you can imagine a company that has a deal for advertising on their site, for example, and they convert those ads into audio ads and place those on their notification.
So basically, this is a way for a company to offset the cost or to actually
right.
potentially make money with that.
Absolutely.
I think what's really interesting is the way UShip leverages it as well. I'll let Sean talk about the advantages of taking a platform like this and inserting advertising and what they do with eBay and what they do in their own calls.
Well, I think especially in context of this panel, I mean, when we wanted to do this, you know, when you talk about our marketing budget, as it were, you know, we have one, but, you know, being metrics hounds that we are, you know, basically PPC and our SEO efforts, et cetera, are known quantities. We know how we can spend money to make money there. And when you talk about new or expeditionary type events, there isn't a lot of people open up purse strings to shell out cash. Or in Jeff's case, maybe you just don't have the money to go on the platform where you just pay for the calls. So I think there's a couple of interesting things along these lines. I think one is, if you have the type of model, and I would imagine Jeff could do the same and with our service provider, our moving companies, this is an opt-in service. So I think there's always a way to do an integration like this and potentially pass on the costs to your members or customers, because they're going to get a benefit of 100x or 1000x or 800x out of having these mobile alerts turned on. So I think that's one way to do it. And we certainly looked at that and certainly would look at that in the future. But the really interesting way we're doing it is we're just actually doing a trade of call volume back through basically an advertising network.
You do a rev share back.
Yeah, basically every call I make, I get a share of the ad that they're going to put on my call, for which I in turn get advertisement in a channel that I want, which of course is eBay right now, but it could be other calls in the future. So really the integration ends up being zero cost to me besides the development time and of that nature. And it's one of those things that I think you can be expeditionary if you can try to find a way to work in that model, prove out the concept, get some metrics, say, hey, my users really like this, and now I've gotten big enough or to the point where I want to make it an ad-free opt-in, or I'm willing to pay for it because I see the impact on my bottom line. I think that's something that you can do at that time. For us, I don't think we'd ever fully want to do that because we want our ads out there, which is really important to us. But I think in context of creating marketing channels on shoestring budgets, this can be something that's really valuable.
So one of the things that on the panel today, we were supposed to have Bill Footer, who's the founder and CEO now of Vito. And Vito is an RSS marketing company, and they do RSS aggregation marketing services and stuff like that. And one of the things that Vito is doing with our platform, which is really cool, these guys kind of represent, either search and marketplace stuff. We, of course, we're talking about eBay as a marketplace. And I think that's really obvious in terms of how our alerts can be used for that. But Vito is using it for content, and that's really cool. I wanted to make sure we talked about that for a second. So Vito is going out there with their partnerships for the companies that are doing RSS publishing through them, aggregation marketing services. And what they're doing is doing deals with content so they can take that content, and which is normally text content, have it produced into audio, and then make that available via phone calls, either outbound or have inbound phone numbers where people can call in and effectively listen to blog stories or listen to the news and have that ad subsidized. And again, leveraging this exact same platform to provide those services. So if you have content companies that are out there and you're publishing content on the web right now and that content is locked up in text and you're trying to convince people to read it on a handheld device, there is an alternative strategy, which is getting that content into the API, having us vocalize that for you, and then providing that out via either phone calls outbound or via inbound that are ad sponsored. And that's really exciting. So Vito's kind of on the cutting edge of that.
I want to encourage you guys, if you have questions, please grab the mic or raise your hand, because we can be entertaining, but we're not that entertaining. I want this to be a conversation between us and you, because I know everyone's looking at, how do I get more touch points with my users? How do I engage with them more? Is there a way to monetize it that's not too invasive for the user? And, I'd like to hear more about what things you're trying to do. And maybe we can have some ideas around how to actually take that mobile at near zero cost or actually create some revenue. So if anybody has any questions, please go up to the mic or raise your hand.
Which is over there.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Please don't leave us hanging.
So my question is basically about, I know you provide a paid service with the SMS alerts and everything else. But what about, the email to SMS gateways and trying to contact the users just using a free model of passing it through the email addresses for the actual cell phones? What are the pitfalls with that kind of way of trying to contact your users?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's actually how we do it. Because we don't want to pay 5 cents. Our pure volume in the marketplace of email alerts is incredibly high. And even if you had some fraction of the people opt into text messages, you're talking about a big chunk of cash. So we do it through email web email addresses. The issues with that is, first of all, is deliverability. Deliverability is a major issue when you try to use those gateways versus pure SMS. So that's one. Two, again, like I mentioned before, you're somewhat limited in the amount of information you can pass to a mobile email address through SMS. Because, for example, on a lot of things we're doing, we want to be able to tell the service provider it was this bid, potentially, on this shipment, going from this location to this location gets long. And this is just in our first iteration. Down the line, we'd like to even include actual content of the question and answer, et cetera. So it's a great channel. And I would definitely encourage you to start there, especially if you don't want to pay the text messaging. But again, it's one of those things, 40% of people have it. And if that, I mean, we have to have on our site, use your mobile email address and a big link that says, you don't, most people don't know they have one, right? So then they have to click that and it's a pop-up and they figure out, oh, AT&T Wireless does it this way, Sprint does it this way. I mean, it's just not something people know. It's much easier conversion path to say, put in your phone number.
What are your opt-in rates for that, by the way?
The service phone?
Yeah, I mean, like having, I mean, it's the more hurdles you put in front of somebody.
Oh, yeah. It's not as, like, Nick, you know? Yeah, about 10% of people actually do that because it's, I mean, any conversion, right? Every form field is a pain, but anything that takes them out of conversion is even worse. Not just for them putting that in, but potentially abandoning our conversion process, which we don't really want them to do. So what we can do with this is if we've already taken their phone number, we just pre-pop the number. They can opt in with the check mark, drop in the hours that they want, and they're done. There's no confusion to that, right? And I always kind of use the litmus test of my mom. You know, ever try to watch my mom or dad do something online? And you know, they're smart people. They're both physicians, but they can't even type, you know? And so I think about what they're trying to do and when they're walking through it. And if they had to click off and find a mobile email, I mean, they can barely answer their cell phones, right? So for them, they could put in their home number. They get a phone call just between 9 to 5 business hours or 6 in the evening to 9 at night, whenever they choose. And it's just makes sense to them. So long answer to a probably simple question.
Yeah, I was going to ask another question along the lines about the hours. You said you mark hours. Is it not, I mean, it's not in service or anything, but can it be annoying to users when they have actual phone calls versus a text message or an email? I mean, what's the reaction so far of users?
So far, I mean, we haven't gotten a ton of, actually almost no response that this is really bothering me. I mean, the reality is, I think you got to look at what the application is. I mean, in Jeff's case, I mean, these real estate agents, they want customers. I mean, how annoying is it to get a phone call with a lead?
You've got money.
Yeah. Or if you've listed something on UShip and you need to move it, are you really going to be bothered when you get a bid, which is, you know, 30% lower than every other option that you've looked at? I mean, so I think the question becomes is, what's the use case?
Right.
And if it's a true opt-in service, the value should be there.
I think Sean hit the nail on the head. I mean, if it delivers value, your customers are going to love it. And if it's opt-in, then if it makes sense for them, they'll opt in. And if it doesn't.
And you can also use the system to build inbound capabilities too. So if you want an 800 or number or a local dial-in number that is able to access your website, you're perfectly free to do that with the technology. And that gets around some of those issues too. But then you have to promote the 800 number and try to get people to call it. Sometimes it's easier just to do that. The other thing about those email gateway services, though, is that, at least in my experience, it's hard to get two-way, or it's impossible to get two-way working with them, right? Because there's a disconnect from the message just goes out and then, like, your short code or whatever you're doing to get the information back in. So that works for sort of getting an alert out there, but I think the holy grail is interactivity, right? You want to drive people to engage with your site and not just, you know, spam them with information. So that's a major limiter.
We have another question. Good morning. I'm just wondering if any of you have tried to pass the cost of the service onto people who are using your service. I mean, it would seem to me like if I'm a real estate agent, paying 5-10 cents a lead is pretty darn cheap. So, I mean, I'm just wondering if you've tried that and how effective it is.
We actually haven't tried doing that. We have some other ideas actually around what we're going to be doing with our leads here in the future as we kind of expand out. We're launching our Dallas site this next week and kind of growing throughout Texas. And as we do that, we're fortunate enough because we're here in Austin, we have enough connections that we're able to deliver, you know, leads to the people that we know and trust and work with closely. When we get to Dallas, I don't know anybody in Dallas. So we're actually looking at taking this platform and being able to leverage a lot of its strengths to enable us to grow our business really quickly and to do exactly that and to pass some of the cost on to the customers.
Yeah, like I said, in the beginning, we haven't done that as yet. I think something that we are looking at is as we expand the interactivity capabilities of the phone alerts, which means, you know, service providers could potentially bid through the phone, you know, if they want to outbid someone or take actual action, something that we have thought about. I mean, reality is our transactions are pretty high dollar to the service provider as far as revenue. So tacking on an extra $2 to the thing for them, or potentially a $20 a month fee, is pretty minuscule. So I don't think that's outside of the world of possibility. And certainly, like Jeff said, if you're offering still value far beyond the cost, I think you'll see adoption be pretty strong.
I was going to say, and I'll let Eric answer this more in depth, but the entire concept coming out of South by last year, and we talked and socialized, you know, what do you need to go mobile? What do you need to enable your users? The main thing was, I need no barriers, no cost, no complexity. I need the carriers out. I need no cost up front. I need to be minimal cost because my users aren't used to paying for anything. And if I can use it as a marketing tool, it's great.
A lot of us, you know, are monetizing our websites or our services indirectly, right? With AdSense or Overture or whatever. It's all about the, you know, advertising economy out there. And so when we talk about, you know, the ability to do phone alerts to people or the ability to reach out and hit someone on the telephone, by having the ability to ad enable it, you are actually having the user pay for it. It's just in an indirect way. So they're not having to shell out their time, but they are shelling out, you know, 10 seconds or 15 seconds of their attention, right? And I know the attention economy isn't the buzzword it was 2 years ago here, but it is still extremely valuable. When you look at how sticky that information is in terms of people's focus on what you're saying to them on the phone, it is significantly higher than what you're going to see on any sort of mobile banner or any other way of getting that CPM-based or CPC-based advertising person. We've done extensive research on this, and this is general takeaway y'all can use for this. We've done trials on our eBay calls, and so on a well-performing internet banner campaign, which I'm sure you've done, what are y'all seeing on your conversion rates? Like somewhere between 0.25% and 1% at most? Banners on your site? Anybody do banners now? Yeah. So it's about there, so depending on the targeting. Yeah. And so on search stuff, it can be as high as 1%. Some people will say it could be higher than that, but most people agree it's about 1% on search. So mobile banner ads, Yahoo was doing some experiments with mobile banner ads. There was a study out last year that was showing mobile banner ads could have a conversion rate as high as 5%, 2.5%, 5%. And everybody was hailing that as like the second coming of advertising on you know, the internet, except for mobile, right? Well, voice advertising on mobile, depending on the targeting, we were seeing up to a 20% conversion. So when we have an eBay phone call, you're bidding on shoes, and we have an advertisement for a shoe vendor, we were seeing click-through rates in terms of people requesting coupons or additional information of 20%. And that is astronomical. And that's seen across the board. So we know that when we're providing a service to users, which is contextual and timely and interesting, when you marry that with the ability to capture that user's focus and attention for 5 or 10 or 15 seconds, and if you make it actionable so that, you know, you press 1 to get an SMS with a coupon for X, or press 1 to get an email with additional information about using UShip or whatever, the take rates on that is really, really high. And so what that allows us to do is to charge higher CPM values for those ads, higher CPC values for when people take actions on those ads, and then split that back with revenue with our partners who are generating call volume on the platforms to make a win-win for everyone.
So can you make it clear that are there ads on all these calls and do they have to be advertised?
Yeah, it's completely up to the person that's doing the integration. So if you know that your user base is not interested in it, and maybe you're a venture-backed company that's really, you know, willing to spend some money to grow your user base, and you want to avoid that issue for now, we'll be more than happy to take your money on a per-call basis. But if you were interested in indirectly monetizing this or reducing your cost for providing the services, we can have that conversation.
Do you have a question?
There's also just, I don't want to get too far away. I mean, with the conversion rates, you know, the internet and the interaction with website stuff has become kind of commonplace. I don't want to throw out the sort of gee whiz aspect of this, because there is a really cool gee whiz aspect of this for your members when they go, well, that's kind of neat. You know, I just went in, I listed, I walked away, and 20 minutes later, I got a phone call and I got a bid. It goes to what type of perceived value you performing for your customers. I mean, that's one of the neatest things I think about this, is that the use cases are valuable to the member. Someone asked before about the annoying part. We already see service providers. We default to sort of business hours, 9 to 5 call periods. We already see service providers changing that to around the clock. I mean, they don't see it as annoying because this is how they make money. This is their livelihood. I think once they realize that people are strange and get up at 3 a.m. and accept bids and they're getting phone calls all the time, that might change. But it is interesting that the value that is perceived and the sort of newness of it all, I think, at least right now, is also part of the cool part about this.
Absolutely. It's definitely, even in our industry, you know, we see that a lot because, like I said, the group of people that we work with and serve, you know, are traditionally, as Sean put it, not the people that are texting LOL. So for them, you know, when they see that we can provide this kind of a value to what they're actually working on, you know, they go off and tell 15 of their real estate buddies, oh my gosh, do you know about this service that these guys are providing for us? And so from that standpoint, it helps us just from the viral marketability of the service.
We got another question.
I'm in the
field,
and we're doing
specifically for him, or just in general, the platform?
Okay, so, I mean, we do, in fact, there's another company here in Austin that does some SMS stuff. The thing that's interesting from that perspective is when an individual, if they're out looking, one of the use cases that we're actually trying to solve here in the not too distant future is a lot more of the mobile searching. And as consumers are out driving their cars around and picking up flyers and looking at different homes, you know, we've looked at texting as an opportunity to get more information back to the users. One of the hurdles that we've seen for that is, well, we either have to get our text code on every single one of those flyers or every single one of those signs. So now we have to go market to all of the real estate professionals and get them to somehow put this on there. And believe it or not, in the real estate industry, even if you make it free, there's still a huge barrier to entry. A lot of people just don't understand. They don't get it. The minute that they feel like they're losing control, they kind of back off. And so you have to really provide value in a way to get them to adopt it that they understand and have a little bit of control over. And so we're not specifically doing that. We've done some text things that we've kind of prototyped. We haven't found the best application for that. And as technologies improve, things with the iPhone get better, GPS, you know, gets further along, we're hoping to kind of jump over the whole text part of things and really just get into the mobile searching side.
Yeah, so
we do support interactivity with text on the platform. So they've done the integration now, so we have the ability to provide them a sure short code, or they can have a dedicated short code so somebody can text in, and that text can result in either a text back or can result in, you know, link or that contains links or pictures potentially, because we have MMS integrations we're working with. But we also have the ability to have text in, phone call out, or phone call in, text out. One of the features that we were talking about, or didn't talk about, but probably should have, is the whole multimodality. So if you're on the phone and you want to get a receipt of something, or you want extended information, press a key, and you actually receive the picture, or you receive the text message in real time while you're on the phone call. And that can include links to information, etc.
So Jeff brought up a good point with, you know, the iPhone getting out there and people having more and more interactivity at the phone. Voice can sometimes be seen as, this is kind of old school technology. What makes this new, first of all? And isn't there a threat of it being completely phased out as the interactivity on the phone becomes more prevalent?
Is that for me?
Sure.
So, you know, we're not trying to bet against data, although if I was a betting man, I would have made a lot of money 8 years ago betting against data adoption. But, you know, these things are great. I mean, I think we all have one up here, except Sean.
Sean's got
one. Sean doesn't have one. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, and probably half the audience does. I mean, these things are great. I love it, you know, but, you know, you need to service 100% of your market. You need to service everybody. And there's nothing wrong with leading, you know, just like my first question I asked, who here uses email to communicate with your users? I mean, email is not guaranteed delivery. It's insecure. It's ubiquitous and it's free. And so everybody uses it. And so we see voices the same kind of way. I mean, 10 years from now, will data usage have doubled or tripled? Yes, absolutely it will. But voice is still going to be ubiquitous, and it's still going to be, at least relative to people that have been using advertising in our system, potentially free to use as well. And so the ability to reach anyone, anywhere, with a low latency, high quality of service medium, I think is not going to go away. And, you know, let people opt in to additional levels of higher interactivity above and beyond that when they've proven that they're sophisticated enough to use it.
Yeah, and just follow up on that question a little bit, because I think when you sort of get to the point where you're actually thinking about your communication strategy or mobile strategy, we've sort of come to the strategy that it's going to be a hybrid type animal. You know, I mean, if you look across those who are doing it successfully, you know, Yahoo, Google, all the big guys, I mean, they're using a little bit of everything. And that's sort of the way we want to approach it. It's about touch points. How do you reach them? How do you get them information they want? And not every one of these mediums is ideal for different types of information. So knowing that, we kind of just put the landscape, all right, here's the user. This is how we can reach them. We can reach them through voice. We can reach them through text. They can have inbound short codes. We have emails, all the things that we have. And then we line up the communication items we have and go, which one of these fit where, you know, where can we get the most interactivity and engagement by putting certain types of content matched up with certain types of channels. And I think that's what you'll see. Like Eric said, it's going to go more towards data, but I think the most successful players will be ones that look at this and don't pigeonhole themselves into a single one of these channels, but try to use them all to the best advantage they can.
Right. I mean, look at Microsoft's acquisition of TellMe or Google's free 411 service, for example. I mean, it's everything old is new again, voice search and everything else. I mean, the modality when users are mobile in terms of not having to type and not having to read when you're in the car makes a lot of sense. So whether it's today or 10 years from today, I think. Do you have any other questions? Surely.
Just one.
Please.
My firm works with nonprofits, and a lot of what they're asking us for is ways to donate directly via SMS. Recently, used the way the Red Cross did during Hurricane Katrina, but the fees here in the U.S. are just crippling, that it's hard for us to justify the, you know, 25% of the money getting taken out by the phone company.
The carrier.
What's that?
I was just agreeing.
Yeah. And so have you guys found a way around that, a way for people to kind of start that transaction via mobile and then continue online, or how to monetize actual sales, I guess.
Right. Eric, you want to feel that?
We have I can't name names, right, but there are some companies that we have had conversations with that are doing mobile payment type of services. I can name one, but PayPal Mobile, for example. So there are companies that are out there that are trying to solve this problem of how to take payment, make payment via SMS. Is the ultimate goal, though, for you, just to make sure I'm clear, is it to use the phone and the phone bill as a wallet so that you can text in and basically a $5 donation shows up on their bill? Or is it to basically allow spur of the moment payment, which can be linked to a credit card or a bank account later?
You know, it's either one. I think that the wallet's certainly easier to collect, but the other one, you know, just being able to get those contributions and get in the door at say an event, you can ask people to text $5 to a short code.
Yeah, yeah. So PayPal Mobile, you can have some conversations with them today and go on PayPal and look that up. And I think there's a solution there for you in terms of, but of course the person using it has to have a PayPal account, right? And potentially have mobile enable their PayPal account, which is a tiny fraction of those of us who have PayPal. But there are some solutions on the horizon. I can just say there's some solutions on the horizon, I think, that will allow for greater linkage to bank accounts and credit cards for mobile payments that will solve your problem. But in terms of putting them on your phone bill, the carriers will absolutely take a lot of the money on that, and they will probably continue to do so.
Yeah, like you said, 25 to 50%.
So your best bet is these mobile payment gateways, right, like that are like PayPal Mobile, that are going to be coming online in the next 12 to 24 months, are, I think, going to be the future of how that works.
Thank you.
No problem.
Any other questions?
Any other follow-up for the panel?
I think we went through my notes.
So we're done early. If anybody has any questions about the platform or interest or whatever, come talk to us afterwards. We're having a entrepreneur lounge happy hour thing tonight from 5 to 7. If anybody's interested in getting some invites or whatever, you can come up and talk to us about that as well.
It's right across the street on top.
Yeah, across the street,
Fogo
de Chao open bar.
Yeah.
So,
open food.
I know that's hard to think about at what is normally 10 o'clock, but is now 11. But trust me, in 5 hours you will want to drink. So, all right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the time, guys.
Thank you.